Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to our discussion around the journey around the Quran. And the reason I'm calling it a journey is that, subhanAllah, when we read the Quran, we go over the lifetime journey of humanity, basically, from before the creation of Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala authorized for this universe to be created and the stages of that creation, until the end of time and until the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about life in eternity, whether in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy, or for those who again select to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that eternal punishment. And today, inshallah, we're going to start talking about some of the ayat of the first juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. First of all, why Surah Al-Baqarah? And even before we start talking about Surah Al-Baqarah, probably most of us already know that the order of the Mus'haf is not chronological, which means that the ayat, as they come in their order in the Quran that we recite today, were not revealed in that same order. That ayat would be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would tell the writers to whom this Quran was dictated to put a particular ayah or a particular passage of ayat in a certain location between this ayah and that ayah. The names of the surah is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawqifi, which means that we cannot give the surah any new names except for what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us as a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that some of the surah of the Quran have more than one name. For example, Surah Ghafir is also known as Surah Al-Mu'min, as it talks about Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, the believer from the family of Fir'aun, who believed in Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is also known as Surah Al-Qital, the armed struggle or the armed fighting, and so on and so forth. So, starting to talk about Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah madaniyah revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And we're going to notice, as we are going together inshallah through this journey with the Quran, some of the major characteristics of the ayat. So we're going to find, for example, that the ayat that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam early on this journey of Islam in Mecca Al-Mukarramah are usually relatively short ayat with a very fast tempo and talking primarily in their majority about certain subjects, including the creation, including the signs of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including reminders about looking at these signs around us, including warnings about the punishment in the hellfire and expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise. When we look at the ayat that are madaniyah revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, we notice that, again, in their majority, they're talking about legislation. They're talking about transactions and interactions. They're talking about the relationship between Muslims and other groups, including non-Muslims or including the family of the scripture or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Ahlul Kitab. So, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, welcomed by the community of Al-Madinah that was established about a couple of years before the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were waiting for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come as the leader. So when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, there were predominantly three groups of people. One group was the believers, who were the Ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent an ambassador to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara to instruct people about Islam before his arrival sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, this ambassador, did a great job by inviting and focusing on the key figures in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara who he thought are going to be open to accepting this new faith, a new way of life. So within less than a couple of years, there was almost no household in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara without a mention of Islam, some of its members or all of its members becoming Muslims. Not everyone embraced Islam at that time. There were some people who still had some doubts. There were some people who started showing Islam while deep in their hearts they were not Muslims. These were described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the hypocrites, which is a phenomenon that only appeared in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, that did not exist in Mecca Al-Mukarramah. And there were also a group of the family of the scripture, several Jewish tribes in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara who had settled there for a long time, and they were quite prominent in their trades. They were traders, they were weapon makers and money lenders and so on and so forth. Many of them were farmers as well. They had some farming communities. So, and they claim to be the people of the ancient book. These are the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had their own traditions, they had their own customs. And between the people of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, predominantly the two major tribes, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, there used to be some feuding every now and then between these two tribes. They used to infight each other, and they killed many of their leaders in these infights. And many of these wars were financed and supported by weapons and money borrowed from the leaders of this Jewish community in Al-Madinah Munawwara. Whenever there was a disagreement between the residents of Al-Madinah Munawwara from Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj and their Jewish neighbors, the Jewish neighbors used to tell them, wait, it's about time for a prophet to come who's going to be the last prophet and messenger. And he's going to come to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara as we find in our books. And when he comes, we're going to believe in him, we're going to support him, we're going to follow him, and we're going to fight you, and we're going to exterminate you. And this was a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when a young and small group of the dwellers of Al-Madinah Munawwara went to Mecca Al-Mukarramah for Hajj, and they met and they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them said among themselves, this is the one that our neighbors, the Jews, have been promising us. Let's rush to him. Let's believe in him before they do, so that, again, we're going to stop these warnings and these threats that they're sending our way. So there was this, again, coexistence between the Muslims, Al-Ansar, and Al-Muhajirin, the immigrants who joined their brethren in Al-Madinah Munawwara, coming with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a coexistence and cooperation and mutual understanding. And in fact, there was also a treaty or an agreement of mutual defense between all the residents of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. If there's an external attack, they're all going to unite together to repel that attack. So that applied to Al-Muhajirin, Al-Ansar, and also the Jewish residents of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. There was some fascination with their status as people of the scripture, people of the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time wanted the believers establishing this new community based on faith to learn their lessons, not to repeat the mistakes of previous nations. So when we look at Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah in the Quran, we find that it's very interestingly named after an animal, a cow. And we find that the story of the cow comes in the first juz of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us different chapters of the transgressions of Bani Israel, the sons of Israel. And Israel is Sayyidina Yaqub ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great prophet and messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And many of them, time and time again, rebelled against the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forgot, they deviated. Their prophets and messengers who were sent to them one after another kept reminding them about their pact and their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of them kept going away from that path. And we have the story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam in multiple chapters of that story, in multiple surah of the Quran, coming in different scenes from his birth, his growing up, escaping from Egypt, coming back to Egypt, the confrontation with Fir'aun, the ultimate ending of Fir'aun by drowning, the survival of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, establishing a new community, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam going to the mountain to receive the tablets and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see time and time again how he was challenged by many of his people who had some ludicrous requests of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam that are documented in full detail in Surah Al-Baqarah. So whenever we hear the word Al-Baqarah, just this word by itself reminds us that do not behave in the same way like the previous nations did. Do not, whenever you are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do something, do not behave as they did, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala documents in the Quran in this juz in Surah Al-Baqarah. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command, this command is to be followed as is, without any argument, without any negotiation, without any second guessing. So it is documented in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that when Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam told his people to do something, they would say, okay, we have heard what you're saying, but we're not going to do it. We are disobeying. سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Whereas by the end of the surah, as we're going to discuss inshallah in a couple of days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers who have learned their lesson that it is not the proper behavior for a believer to say سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, we heard and disobeyed, but the proper behavior is to say سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we have heard and we have obeyed. We have listened to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have obeyed. In this juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about that beginning of that eternal war between truth and falsehood. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeking permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just informing the angels that he subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new species on the face of the earth. Obviously, Sayyidina Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was not the first creature to be sent to earth. There were other creatures, probably animals, probably other creatures that were not human. And these creatures were infighting among themselves and spilling blood and killing and so on and so forth. That's why the angels had this association. Anything that lives, any living things that live on earth, their nature is going to be to fight each other and to kill each other. So that's why they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that question. Again, not objecting to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just inquiring. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. In some of the narrations, on some of the tafaseer of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that he's going to create a new species, that human, the angel asked, and what is a human? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that these humans, some of them are going to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them are going to be disobedient, and they're going to spread corruption on the face of earth. And that's why the angels, again, according to these tafaseer, they asked this question. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are here, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve you, to glorify you day and night without feeling tired, without any disobedience. So are you going to create that race or that new creature who is going to be disobeying and is going to be spreading corruption on the face of the earth? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that not every creature has the choice. Not every creature has the ability and the intellect to find out what is good and what is evil. Most creatures know what is good or what is bad, what is right or what is wrong. A trained cat or a trained dog would recognize what should they do to get rewarded, and what, if they do, they will be punished. So to a certain extent, they know right from wrong, but they do not know good from evil. This is only a characteristic or a character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to the two species that are going to be held accountable, which are the ins, the humans, and the jinn, which is another species that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and made to be accountable for their actions. Among these angels was one of those jinn who was elevated due to his devotion and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Iblis, al-Shaytan. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, this, by the way, is not a prostration of worship as we prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salawat, but it was a sign of respect and a sign indirectly or even directly of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who commanded them to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And here we see the seeds of that eternal battle between truth and falsehood. Iblis, who had some arrogance, or he had a lot of arrogance actually, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was the first creature to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, why didn't you prostrate as the angels did? His response started in the wrong way. He started saying, Ana, I am. Ana khayrun minhum. I am better than he is. And here, look at the false logic of the shaitan, which is again, as I mentioned yesterday, the false logic that unfortunately some people exhibit today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Khaliq. He is the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in their sane mind can deny that. Even the shaitan did not deny this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And that's why, look at the false logic. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, has got to be the commander. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one, the owner of that creation. He is the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he has the right. He is the only one who has the right to command subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells shaitan to prostrate and he rejects, his argument was, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than he is. And then look at what he said. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You created me out of fire and you created him out of mud. So this is the contradiction that the shaitan cannot understand. خَلَقْتَنِي, he acknowledges the creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of both of them. So why does he accept the creation and he does not accept the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the first major this misunderstanding of the shaitan and rebellion of the shaitan against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in advance what is going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his infinite and complete and perfect and absolute knowledge, knew in advance that although Sayyidina Adam was living in Al-Jannah, he will be eventually descended to earth. And look at when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am creating a vicegerent on the face of the earth. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in advance that Sayyidina Adam will be descended to earth. This is a fact that even Sayyidina Adam at the beginning did not know about it, and he found out later after his forgetfulness and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, someone might think, how come he was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He was living in this fantastic place, paradise, without any fear, without any boredom, without any exhaustion, without anything to make him feel bad. How could he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him and his wife, do not eat from this tree? And many of the Mufassirin say that Shaitan came to him in a very devious way. And Shaitan told Sayyidina Adam, look, you want to worship your Lord? day and night, just like the angels. You want to glorify your Lord day and night, like the angels, without death, without sickness, without anything. هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى? Shouldn't I tell you about a tree, the tree of eternity? If you eat from that tree, you're going to live eternally, and therefore you're going to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to be able to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infinitely. And Sayyidina Adam forgot his promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am not going to eat from that tree. Again, he was lured by the trick of the shaitan, and he and his wife ate from that tree, and we know the rest of the story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the beginning of this battle, or this war that has multiple battles, to be on guard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us through different chapters of people who received guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet followed the steps of the shaitan by rejecting that guidance or discarding that guidance and selecting to follow their own moods and their own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question, and that question actually is sort of a rhetorical question. No one can give a valid, correct answer to that question, because it does not have any valid or correct answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, كيف تكفرون بالله? How do you deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you hide the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your hearts, from your minds, from your behavior and your actions? كيف تكفرون بالله? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the reasons why he should never be denied subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. You are nothing. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala revived you from that nothingness. And then you lived, and then you're going to die, the earthly death, and then you're going to be revived one more time. So that's why we find in Surah Ghafir, قالوا ربنا أمتنا اثنتين وأحييتنا اثنتين. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you caused us to die twice and to live twice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, we were nothing, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala with his grace and his kindness revived us from nothing, or created us from nothing, and then allowed us to live this life, the life of testing, the life of action, whether in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a mixed medium in between. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause us to die, and then he subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us, will revive us again now for the eternal life, and will hold us accountable for what we had sent forward. And this is a sign that, again, no one else can claim. No one else can claim to be the creator or the reviver. Even as we're going to see tomorrow in the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim, part of the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, with An-Namrud, that tyrant king, when Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, my Lord is the one who creates life and death. And that foolish king, arrogant tyrant, told Sayyidina Ibrahim, well, I can do that as well. Ana uhyi wa umit. And he did not understand the fact that the creation, the revival out of nothing, the creation out of nothing cannot be done by anything or anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about, again, how his bounties upon Bani Israel were so numerous that they could not be counted. And they were repeated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them chances time and time again. Each time they rebel, they forget, they disobey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them one more chance, so that on the day of judgment they would not have any excuse, and they would say, oh Allah, you punished us for our first transgression. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you chances time and time again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very gentle reminder to this group of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them by their beloved father, Ya Bani Israel, O sons of Israel, sons of Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not call them by their names or by their tribes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them by the father they claim they belong to and they have respect for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them, this is your grandfather, Israel, the father of these nations, the grandson of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is a very beautiful, prestigious, honorable family of prophets. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you deny your ancestry and forget your heritage? And why are you transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again, explicitly and implicitly in the ayat, to remember that this life is fleeting. This life is very short. This life is not going to last forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, and prepare for a day, fear a day, be mindful of a day. The word attaqu is a very rich word that cannot be translated into one word in English, but it has multiple meanings in English. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, prepare for that day. Have your provisions for that day. Have your answers for the questioning that's going to happen on that day. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this day that لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا. No soul is going to be able to help another soul. Everyone will be held accountable individually for their own actions. By the end of the first juz of the Quran that comes in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us back to that beloved family, that beautiful family of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He showed us examples of disobedience through the behaviors of Bani Israel time and time again, who again kept arguing and rebelling against their prophet Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and against their previous prophets, some of whom actually they have killed. So the tribes of Bani Israel have killed many of the prophets to whom they were sent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them about this transgression and reminding them about this major crime. How come whenever a prophet comes to you that you do not like, فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, some of them you deny and some of them you even kill? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the bright example of humanity to show the contrast between the behavior of Bani Israel and that beautiful prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Sayyidina Ibrahim from a very young age, when he was a teenager, in the strength of his faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Sayyidina Ibrahim to show the strength of his character through his behavior, through his challenge of his people who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the logic of thinking of Sayyidina Ibrahim when he started contemplating the creation around him, and he recognized this creation has got to have a creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He tested Sayyidina Ibrahim time and time again, and Sayyidina Ibrahim always passed these tests with flying colors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the responsibility. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. I am gonna make you a leader for an-nas, for the creation, for mankind. And it is interesting that the family of the scripture, the Jews, the Christians, and us as Muslims, all of these followers of these three faiths, all of us respect and love and have nothing to say but great things about Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And that's because of his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Sayyidina Ibrahim that He's going to make him a leader, Sayyidina Ibrahim is thinking, is knowing actually that I am a mortal. I'm not going to be living forever. I want this faith to survive me. And that was actually the concern of all the prophets and messengers. They were not worried about their own life, but they worried about their people after they die. That's why we find, for example, Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for a son. Not just to have a son and to brag that I am the father of this or the father of that, but someone who would carry this responsibility and deliver this message to future generations. So that was the concern of Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. We find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the eve of the Battle of Badr in the Ramadan of the second year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the eve of the 17th of Ramadan, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, Allahumma in tahlak hadihi al-isabatu min al-mu'mineen falan tu'bada fil ardi ba'da al-yawm. O Allah, if this group of believers that are following me in our confrontation with disbelief, with that evil of Quraysh, if they perish today, we are outnumbered, we are outarmed, we are few, and we are doing our best. O Allah, if this group perishes today, there's no other group of believers who's going to be able to maintain your rule on the face of this earth. So again, the concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the continuation and the perpetuation of faith on the face of this earth. And that was the concern of all the prophets and messengers, exhibited here by Sayyidina Ibrahim when he's told, you're going to be the leader. And Sayyidina Ibrahim asks, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, what about my offspring? What about the people who are going to come from my family after me? Are they going to be able to maintain that same status, that leadership, that role of guiding other people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, those who choose to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to inherit that covenant and that leadership. But those who choose to be oppressors, to be unfair to themselves before anything and to others, that they're not going to inherit that covenant. Sayyidina Ibrahim, when he is commanded to raise the walls of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca al-Mukarramah, he summons his young son, his teenager son, Sayyidina Ismail ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala documents them doing this hard labor of raising the walls of Al-Kaaba while they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are doing an obedience, they are doing an act of devotion in response to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they're not saying, oh, we're doing an act of devotion, so we're going to be definitely rewarded for that. They're always worried, are our actions going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. While they're raising the walls of that house for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, we are doing our best, please accept from us. Please make this action sincere for your sake and not to be associating anything or anyone else with you in our action. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates in the hadith Qudsi related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ, I do not need any partners. I do not need any associates. I am independent of the need of any partners or any associates. مَنْ عَمِلَ لِي عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ غَيْرِي فَهُوَ لِلشَّرِيكِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Whoever does an action claiming it is for me while they associate someone else or something else with me, all this action goes to the partner and nothing of it reaches me. I do not need any partners. I do not want any partners. I do not want any associates. So Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us the example that whenever we do any act of devotion, sometimes unintentionally we have ulterior motives, whether we know it or not. That's why he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that act of devotion sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also teaches us through his beautiful dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from associating with you anything that I know of, and I seek your forgiveness from the things that I do not know of, that are not even on my mind, but they end up being some sort of an act of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions that this is a dua that would help us with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect and shield our actions and our words and our behavior from any signs of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another way of, again, caring about the future generations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us within the same blessed family of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam to his grandson Sayyidina Yaqub, again going full circle back to Israel, Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, because this surah is talking primarily about Bani Israel and about their behavior, to draw a compare and contrast what they did so that the believers, this new generation of believers in Al-Madinah Munawwara, would not do. As they say, a smart person learns from his or her mistakes, but a smarter person learns from other people's mistakes. We do not have to make the mistakes to learn from them. It is good to learn from our own mistakes, but it's even better to learn from other people's mistakes without committing the same mistakes. So that's why this revelation in Surah Al-Baqarah is telling us about what Bani Israel did. The reason for this revelation is not just storytelling, although it's a very entertaining story, but it is, the main purpose is, here's what they did, do not follow that model. When you hear that word Al-Baqarah, remember about all of the transgression of Bani Israel and do an 180 degrees from that. Do not behave like them, but behave in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for you. So here we find Sayyidina Yaqub, Sayyidina Israel, Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, when he lived his life inviting people to Islam, reminding them about Islam with his 12 sons, which were basically the later on the tribes, the leaders of the tribes of Bani Israel. And when he felt that his life is about to come to an end, his earthly life is about to come to an end, he summoned all of his sons around him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to that scene, to the deathbed of Sayyidina Yaqub ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, or were you witnesses when this happened? Let me tell you about what happened at that time, because we were not witnesses and we wouldn't know about it were it not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mercy told us about that event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to that deathbed with Sayyidina Yaqub laying on this deathbed and calling his sons around him. And he asked them a question. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي What are you gonna worship after me? Again, he was worried about the future generations. He did his best during his life. He sacrificed as much as he did during his life. He sacrificed the temporary loss of his beloved son Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then his younger brother Sayyidina Binyamin, and then alhamdulillah, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were reunited again at the old age of Sayyidina Yaqub. So he reminisces on this long journey and he's asking his children who had disobeyed him once, so he's worried about their behavior after he departs. So he gathers them and he asks them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي What are you going to worship after me? And their response unanimously was, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ We're going to worship your Lord and the Lord of your fathers. إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا Again, to confirm, this is another confirmation. They said, we're going to worship your Lord and the Lord of your fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا Only one God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we're going to be completely submitting to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned our lesson. We learned from our mistake, our plotting against our brother. So we learned that mistake because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave us. So we're not going to do that mistake again. We are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any association. And we're going to completely submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about this beautiful story to come to the conclusion of the first juz of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the conclusion of this story is telling us, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This ayah is repeated twice in that last page of the first juz of the Quran, that this is a nation that has expired. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. Their time is past. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. Whatever they did, they're going to be held responsible for. And whatever you do, you are going to be responsible for. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You are not going to be held responsible for what they did. You are only going to be held responsible for what you did. So again, it's a reminder by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His kindness and generosity. Focus on your own actions. Do not worry about what other people did. You do your best, you remind, you invite people to Islam, you enjoin good, you forbid evil, you live in that way, but you're not responsible for the results. You are only responsible for the effort. And again, this is a message that comes time and time again in the Quran, as we're going to see on that journey, that you are never responsible for the results. The results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your responsibility is only your effort, the effort of what you can control. Whatever you cannot control, you will not be asked about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very beautiful word that I'm going to conclude with for the ayat for today. Sibghat Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers who have been completely transformed by the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a fabric, a very nice piece of fabric, of cloth, that has been dyed with a certain color or beautiful colors. Now, if it were a cheap dye, what would happen when you wash that garment or that cloth? The colors are going to run and it's going to start fading and losing its beautiful hue and its beautiful colors because it's a cheap dye. It did not penetrate through the fibers of that garment or that cloth. But if it were a rich dye and the dyeing process was a good one and the colors of that dye penetrated through the fibers of that cloth, the longer you use it, the more beautiful it's going to look like. And it's never going to lose its colors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using that simile, sibghat Allah, that the believers who are immersed in their understanding of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are following the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if they have been dipped deeply in that dye of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever happens to them, if they are exposed to fire, if they are exposed to tests, to trials, to time, to wear and tear, to whatever, they're not going to lose that luster. They're not going to lose that beautiful color because it has penetrated every fiber of their bodies. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have been immersed in that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us receive this guidance and for every fiber in our bodies, our minds and our souls to be colored by this beautiful color of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the example of Sayyidina Ibrahim and Sayyidina Ismail and Sayyidina Ishaq and Sayyidina Yaqub and all the prophets and messengers. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. As we all believe, we do not distinguish between the great prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love them all, we follow them all, we have a special place in our hearts and our minds for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the greatest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in that position, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not spare an effort reminding us and guiding us and keeping us on the straight path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live our lives in that way and to remain in full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nahnu lahu muslimun. Inshallah, I will see you tomorrow with some other beautiful ayat of the Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah. And until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.